Good morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning. We appreciate you all being with us as we come together to worship God and to honor Him today. In preparation for my lesson for today, I came across this a title or something. I thought I would share it with you as hopefully it'll be something to get your attention as we start this morning. One way that God might strike you dead. You might want to pay attention, right? Might want to pay attention if we're going to be talking about a way that God might strike you dead or a reason that God might strike you dead. Now, I'm not trying to say this morning that God is going to strike you, but there has been an occasion in the New Testament where that happened. And so we're going to look at that this morning. And if you would, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading in verse 1. Acts chapter 5 and verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathe his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. Verse 6, and the young men arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all who heard these things. Excuse me, came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. As we read something in the Bible, we always want to look at it and try to get the context of the situation, okay? And the context just means what goes along with the text. Okay, what goes along with the text? So when you come up to Acts chapter 5 and verse 1, it begins with but a certain man named Ananias. So the question is, why does it say that? Why is it going to talk about that? Well, we've got to go back and let's look at a few verses. Let's look at a few verses in chapter 4 to kind of help set the tone of chapter 5. If you would, go back to Acts chapter 4 and verse 32 beginning. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each has anyone had need. Verse 36, and Joseph, who was also named Barnabas, by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Okay. Notice that it says the believers in verse 32 were sharing. They were of one heart and one soul, and they were sharing in all things. There were some Christians there that had come. This is, as we began the, we would say sometimes, it's the infancy of the church. The church has been established in Acts chapter 2. There have been believers that have given up everything to follow Jesus, to follow what the apostles were teaching. And so as a result of that, there were some that were in need. Some of the Christians, as is today, we would say some were more better off than others. Okay, some had more possessions than others. And some were lacking. Some were needing some things. And so because of this sharing in common, they saw a need. And they did things to fill that need. The things that they were doing were selling land or homes that they might have in order to and give it to the apostles so then they could distribute to each as he had need. Well, that sets the context, doesn't it, for us, for Ananias and Sapphira. Because we have an example of one man, Barnabas, who we know about, read about in other situations, but we understand that Barnabas, he had some, it says that having land, he sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. You can imagine what happened because of that. Okay, Ananias and Sapphira, they decide they're going to do something similar. But they don't want to give everything, do they? They don't want to give everything up. Let's think about some things. In Acts chapter 4 and verses 32 through 5:11, what do Ananias and Sapphira teach us, or this text in there? And I've got some things. I was going through this. There's so many lessons. Okay, there's so many things we can learn from this. And we're going to just kind of go through a few things real quickly, and then we're going to focus on some at the end. But I want to have you think about with me some principles. The first principle we see from Acts 4:32 to 5:11, that those who are of one heart and one soul will sacrifice for one another. And brethren, that's a good thing, isn't it? When we share in common, when we are of one heart and one soul, we will do things, sacrifice, when we see someone else in need. And brethren, that's exactly what God wants us to do. He is pleased when we do that because we are showing our love for God by helping one another. We are showing our love for God and as well our love for one another. So brethren, that is a principle we need to take away from that, because I'm afraid a lot of times we focus, and I've been guilty of this, we'll run right past chapter 4, 32 through 37, and we jump right into Acts chapter 5 and we start focusing on the negative side and on the things that can go wrong. And then we say, you know what? Shouldn't have done that, right? Shouldn't have done that. Boy, things were going bad. Look what happened. But yet, a lot of good things were going on. Okay? Second thing. Our love must be without hypocrisy. Our love must be without hypocrisy. When we are of one heart and one soul and we're sacrificing for one another, brethren, our love must be pure. Okay? And I'm going to tell you, this is something we've got to constantly work on. It's not something that you just, okay, my love's pure. Okay, and just kind of go check that off and go. It's something that the devil will work on against us. And so we've got to constantly be examining ourselves. We've got to constantly make sure that our motives are pure, that we are doing things for the right reason. And we'll talk more about that as we go along in the lesson. Number three, Another principle we see from this is that conspirators in sin share the guilt. I want you to think about Ananias and Sapphira. Husband and wife. Husband and wife. They should be helping each other in growing closer to God. Brethren, that's exactly what God wants you and your spouse to be for each other. You are to help each other get closer to God, not help each other in sin. Not help each other in going away from God. And that's exactly what Ananias and Sapphira did. They conspired together to try to tempt God, to try to deceive everyone, and they both were struck dead because of it. Brethren, that ought to be something that we learn. A principle we learn from that is that if you conspire with someone, you conspire in someone in sin, you both are guilty. You both are guilty. Sapphira could have said, well, you know what, Ananias actually made the transaction. He did it, and I just kind of went along with it, you know this. But no, it didn't matter. They both conspired in sin, and they both were struck dead because of it. I want you to turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And really, this passage is not just talking about those that are married, but it talks about maybe in some Bibles, it may have a little thing that says the value of a friend or the value of having someone with you. Two are better than one in verse 9 because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. It talks about in this passage the value of having a good companion. Having someone there to help pick you up when you fall down. And listen to me, young people. And I'm looking over here. Because I don't think any of you are married yet. Any of the young people over there that are married, you need to listen. When you're thinking about a spouse, when you're thinking about someone you want to spend the rest of your life with, it better be someone that's going to help you go to heaven. Going to help you make the right decisions. And I'm going to look around everybody else because there's a few over here not married yet. Okay, listen to me. You need to pay attention. When you're looking for a spouse, you look for someone that's going to help you go to heaven. Someone that's going to help you go to heaven. Because brethren, you get around someone conspiring with them for sin, it's not going to end well. Ananias and Sapphira learned the hard way, didn't they? The next principle is that man can see what you do. God can see why you do it. And I tell you what, that's a hard one to learn right there. Man can see our outward actions. He can see what we say or what we do and all these things. But God sees why we do it. God looks at the heart. He knows everything that's going on. And so we've got to be careful. We've got to make sure that we are living our lives the way God wants them to do, not the way we're trying to please men. We're trying to put on a show, make things appear they are certain ways when they're really not. God sees why we do it. The next principle is absolute control of our money ends after we give it to the church. After we give it to the Lord, absolute control of that money ends. I think we all understand that. But it's something that we need to say. When we give it to the Lord, that's what we're doing it. We're giving it to the Lord. And Ananias and Sapphira, they wanted to hold back part. They wanted to hold back part, and they tried to do things that were deception. All of these lies and trying to make themselves look better than they actually were. We've got to be careful with that. The next principle, threat of punishment increases respect. The last verse in our reading in chapter 5 and verse 11, because of what happened, Ananias and Sapphira are struck dead. It says, great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. They heard what happened. They heard what they did. And someone says, you know, why did God do this? Why did God strike them dead? Why did they die just because of this? This was not that big of a deal. Well, that goes back to hypocrisy. And God does not put up with hypocrisy. A lot of people want to say today, you know what? I don't want to be a member of the church because there's too many hypocrites in the church. Too many hypocrites out here. And let me tell you what, brethren, God's going to take care of the hypocrites. God's going to take care of them. He took care of Ananias and Sapphira. And that should have been an example for us to learn that we need to make sure that we're doing things the way God wants us to do it, and with the right attitude and the right motive and the right heart. But brethren, just because God didn't strike you dead today, that doesn't mean God's not going to take care of it. And so we've got to be careful. We've got to learn from that. The first century church learned from it. It says great fear came upon them of those that heard these things. Okay. I want to focus now on three things as we continue. Number one, we need to learn from Ananias and Sapphira that we do not need to do good to try to impress men. It's easy for us to fall into that, okay? We just think about Ananias and Sapphira. Maybe they saw how everyone reacted when Barnabas sold the land and laid the money down. I'm sure everybody came up to him and said, boy, we sure do appreciate what you've done. That sacrifice that you made. You got rid of all that wonderful, beautiful land that you had. You gave it up just to help us out. And we appreciate that so much. And I'm sure everybody was coming up to him and patting him on the back and thanking him and doing all these things. And Ananias and Sapphira said, you know what? Boy, that's pretty good, isn't it? You know what? We've got something that we can sell too. We'll sell it, but you know what? I kind of want to, let's hold back. Let's just give a little bit, but we'll pretend like this is everything. We'll pretend like this is what we got for the land. And we'll go and give it to the apostles. Nobody will be the wiser. We'll still get the recognition. Everything will be fine. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus warns against the very thing of trying to do good to impress men. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. What Jesus is saying is if you're doing it just to get the pat on the back, then that's going to be your reward. That's all you're going to get. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. I don't know if the hypocrites really did go through and blast the trumpet in the streets and tell everybody what good they did. But what he's saying is, he's using hyperbole there, I believe, and he's trying to exaggerate. He's trying to show you that don't do it for a show. He says, assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Now, why does he say, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing? Is that possible? Is it really possible for you to do something and have your left hand doing this and your right hand? Hey, oh, and what I'm going to do. No, that's not possible, right? But what he's saying is, What he's saying is, remember your motive. Okay? When you do things without trying to broadcast it, okay, when you still do it, why are you doing it? You're doing it for the right reason. You're doing it because it's the right thing to do. You're doing it because you're wanting to help. You're not doing it because you want everybody to come up to you and, yeah, all right, you did it, good job. All right, you know, we all clap for him, you know. Remember, and he walks in, everybody goes, oh, yeah, look what he did. Okay, that's not why we're doing it. And God said, if that's why you're doing it, that's all you're going to get. That's all the reward you're going to get, that pat on the back or that applause. But God will reward us if we have the right attitude, we have the right motives behind our giving. John 12, 42 and 43. John 12, 42 and 43. It says, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And brethren, that's something that we've got to be careful about. Do we love the praise of men more than the praise of God? Brethren, if we're trying to get the praise of God, some things that we do are not going to be the most popular with the people. If we're trying to put God first, if we're trying to do what's right, not everything is going to be popular with the people. If you're trying to please the people, the opposite will be true. You're trying to please the people, not everything is going to be pleasing to God. Who do you want to please? Really, that's our question, isn't it? That's what we need to realize. And Paul said in Galatians 1 and verse 10, who am I trying to please? Please God or please men? He said, if I was still trying to please men, I wouldn't be a servant of God. Number two. If I can get this to work. There we go. The devil will try to destroy those doing good deeds. Have you ever, when you read that in Acts chapter 5, what we read this morning, can you believe that the devil could take something as good as giving money to help someone, can use that to destroy two Christians? When you look at it, they say, wow, what is the problem here, man? Because look, they were actually giving money. They were giving some of the money to help. They were doing a good deed. Why did God do this to them? The devil had them filled with pride, had their hearts filled with greed, had their hearts filled with wanting the applause of men, whatever you want to put in there, whatever it was that was their motive, their driving ambition, the devil put it in their hearts. What that tells me is, brethren, we've got to be careful. We have got to be careful even in our doing good. Even in our doing good to help others, we've got to be careful that our hearts are not puffed up. That we are not filled with arrogance or with greed. The devil will try to destroy those doing good deeds. John 8, verse 44, the Bible tells us that the devil is a liar. He is the father of all lies, and he is a murderer from the beginning. From the beginning. We've got to be careful. We've got to be watchful. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, listen, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Does that last part not sound exactly what happened to Ananias and Sapphira? You think they were filled with sorrow? They thought they were going to get away with something. They thought they were going to have some money that they were going to be able to keep and still get the applause of men and get all these things. And they strayed from the faith. Brethren, we need to listen. We need to pay attention. We need to listen to God. The third thing is, we all need to remember, and this is one, brethren, that we start doing this as a child, and if we're not careful as adults, we're doing the exact same thing. And that is the fact that, brethren, you cannot hide anything from God. You know, when you're a child and when you know you've done something wrong, what do? You try to hide. Or you hide what you've done. Right? If you go and you break something, what do? You'll put it behind it. You're going to put it behind the chair. You're going to put it behind something. You're going to hide it because you don't want mom and dad to see what you've done, what you've broken. Like that's like you're going to get away with that, right? You know, when you're a child and the parents, and we're all just kind of looking. Okay, well, we see it right there. It's not there anymore. We know something happened. You know, something broke. Okay. As a parent, we look and we laugh at our children. What do you think God does with us? What do you think God does with us when we sin and we do something and then we try to hide it from Him? Oh, yeah, I can't believe that. I didn't see that. He just went right by me. I didn't catch it. I created the universe and I'm everywhere and I can see everything, but somehow this little creature just hid something from me. Do you really think we can get away with it? You know, Moses said in Numbers 32 and verse 23, be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sins will find you out. And brethren, if you tell a lie, if you deceive someone, you do anything, you may get away with it for a little while. You may get away with it with that person, but you're not going to get away with it with God. And brethren, if Ananias and Sapphira does not teach you anything else, it better teach you that you cannot hide anything from God. You cannot hide anything from God. As we close this morning, I want you to think about something. In Acts 5 and verse 11, and great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. The things that happened with Ananias and Sapphira. Great fear came upon them. Respect for the Lord. And brethren, that's what we need. We need to have respect for the Lord. We need to have respect for His Word. So when His Word tells us something, we're going to do it. We're going to help others. We're going to have the right motive. We're not going to let the devil creep into our heart. We're not going to let the devil cause us to put doubt in His Word. We're going to do our best to live for God each day. We're going to tell the truth. We're going to be honest in everything that we do and everything that we say. And I'll go ahead and tell you, brethren, there's been a whole lot of times that I've caught myself, and sometimes after the fact, I caught myself in a lie. I caught myself telling a lie because it was a whole lot easier for me just to kind of skirt around the truth than just say it like it was. And brethren, that's the devil trying to get us. I want you to think about what this says. Secrets and lies kill relationships. It kills, first of all, your relationship with God. And it kills your relationship with others. Secrets and lies have no part in the Christian's life. Ananias and Sapphira heard it, or they figured it out too late. They stand as an example for us to listen and learn from their mistakes. No matter how careful you are, you will get caught. You will get caught. As Moses said, be sure your sins will find you out. Please listen. As I said, there have been times that it was a whole lot easier for me to tell a lie than it was to tell the truth. And I need to tell the truth. And brethren, you need to tell the truth. God knows us. He knows our hearts. He knows what we're about. He loves us and He'll help us. When we do tell the truth and it hurts, He knows what we feel. He knows what we're going through and He'll help us make it through. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, hope and pray that you will do something about it this morning. So many lessons we can learn from this. I want to ask you something, though, as we close. What would happen if God was still working today as He did then? If God was still working today as He did then in Acts chapter 5, where would we be? He warns us now, brethren, through His Word, His written Word that He has given us. But, brethren, the day will come in which He will deal with the sinner. The day will come when He will deal with those who have practiced hypocrisy and have not been truthful. There will come a day when He will deal with them. Brethren, you can only be saved through the grace, as we talked about this morning in our Bible class, the grace of Jesus Christ. Jesus came down to this earth and lived as a man, and He died on the cross. So we don't have to die for our sins. We can get forgiveness of our sins through that precious blood of Jesus. If you're here this morning, in any way that we can help you in becoming obedient to Jesus Christ and turning to Him while you have opportunity in simple obedience, we can help you this morning in becoming a Christian or turning back to Him. Please come while we stand and sing.